Fixation by Drew. Supernatural fanfic pairing Sam Dean and by Hurt the Owl. The car kept moving, forward, inexorably forward. The miles kept appearing. The miles kept being eaten up. The miles kept disappearing into the distance behind them. It was dark outside. Too late to be late. Too late to be early. The stars overhead were clear and crystalline, and fuzzy through the windows, all white cold and flame blue, the only things that seemed stable in all this blur. At intervals they passed beneath the cyclops glare of lights lining off and on ramps, sturdy little soldiers at constant attention in the middle of nowhere. Mostly it was dark, quiet as a god in a car barreling along at 75. Sam and Dean were in the back, squished together lying down. Dean pressed into the seat. Sam pressed into Dean. Dad was driving. Had been for hours. Would keep driving hours more. Dean was asleep, breath warm and deep, even against Sam's nape. Sam had tried to sleep, but couldn't. Knew he wouldn't. Sometimes, his brain simply refused to shut down. Tonight was worse. Had been growing worse for days. It wasn't just restless thinking that had him blinking at the worn leather seat a few inches from his nose. It wasn't just restless thinking that had him blinking at the worn leather seat a few inches from his nose. It was unspent want and horniness, and a long-ago cultivated inability to truly sleep without first having at least kissed Dean. Sam sighed and shifted, a burst of impatient movements, back and forth in barely leashed aggression and irritation. Dean's arms tightened around him, and bleary half-whispers met his ears. Nonsense words Sam understood, shushing him, trying to soothe, telling him to sleep too. The tape ended, and Sam listened to Dad's movements, the awkward eject snap that sent tapes flying, the rattle of the next selection, the click of it into the tape deck, and soon, music was playing again while Dad hummed along. All three of them were running ragged. They were exhausted and stretched beyond what their bodies deserved, and still there was hunting to be done. Sam's skin felt prickly and hot and too tight, miserable because it had been ages since Dean had touched him in all those perfect Dean ways. It had been ages since they'd beaten off or writhed together or humped desperately until they came. He missed it. The taste, the scent, craved it in Dean's touch. And he knew Dean was living in the same painfully incisive edge. Sam could tell from the tense hold of Dean's normally fluid frame, from the increase in snarkiness and a temper usually long and patient, grown short and angry. Knew it especially from the smoldering look in green eyes that bore into him whenever Dad wasn't watching. They'd been going at a relentless pace for almost 2 weeks, living out of the car, no motel stops. Living out of the car, no motel stops, no stopping at all. They were on the tail of something bad, nasty, and fast. In hunts like these, Dad didn't waste time with the useless crap of sleeping in a bed and eating something that came on a plate instead of a greasy wrapper. Dean didn't complain. Sam had. Both endured. Dad was sure they'd catch up to it if they didn't slow down. Kept assuring them and apologizing, but unable to bend. "The next town, you'll see," he promised. Dean nodded and kept his mouth shut. Sam's mouth tightened, and he didn't say anything, because Dean didn't want him to. None of them were willing to give in, even if Sam was beyond frustrated at this point. They'd get it, sure as sunrise. It was only a matter of time. For Sam, it had become more. Whatever that thing was, words debated between them, reptilian, bog monster, electroplasmic echo, it had spit at them the one time they'd managed to get close, all goopy and thick and corrosive. Dean had tackled Sam, shielded him, taken the brunt as usual. The spit had eaten through the arm of Dean's jacket and his jeans. Sam had watched the sizzling holes as they'd grown, shuddered with revulsion and disquiet at the hunger that it seemed to be appeasing. As he'd watched, Sam had the cold realization the damage wouldn't stop there, and next he knew he was frantic, cutting away Dean's favorite jacket and flannel and t-shirt and jeans, sped on by images of Dean's perfect flesh bubbling and melting right along with the clothes. The two had lain tangled together, panting in the old dark churchyard they'd tracked it to, It had an affinity for sleeping in decrepit soil, Dean in only his boxers and his boots, Dad chasing after it, leaving them behind with a yell to stay put and keep alert. Sam heard just in time, over and over again in his mind. He'd said it without realizing, dropped his knife and explored Dean's skin with his fingers, seeking, wishing healing could come from a mere touch. Dean had two sores from that spit, one on his bicep, one on his thigh. Two sores that would eventually be two more scars. When Sam had seen the angry welts from the spit, he'd made the solemn promise that fucker, whatever, was good as dead, even if that meant more time in the car and no time to steal with Dean. Before Dad had gotten back to them, he'd kissed Dean, kissed the raw, misshapen circles, felt his lips tingle and burn ever so from the traces of poison and demon fire that remained. He'd licked them, the spit making his tongue rough and raspy, like when he drank hot cocoa too quick and greedy. Dean had told him not to. He did it anyway. There was almost nothing of it on Dean. Sam knew it wouldn't hurt his insides because it hadn't burnt his throat when he swallowed. Dean had been worried and pissy all the same. Sam kept on. He trembled and felt wild over, overtaken with need in a fog of urgently thrumming appetite. Dean had let them kiss, and let Sam taste his skin, haphazard, and hands had set Sam away, eyes full of warning and regret. Sam had heard it then, Dad's quick-paced footsteps. He'd sat back on his heels and bit his lip and almost cried. Dean had blinked, eyes changed to dutiful neutrality, looked away. They'd stood then, stood apart, waited and ignored the hell out of each other. That had been 6 days, 14 hours and an odd few minutes into the hunt. That had been 4 days, 11 hours and too many minutes ago. By the time Dad got back to them, Dean's discarded clothes were a small, smoking heap, already almost gone. Sam had stared at Dean, but Dean wouldn't meet his eyes. They'd gotten back to the car, and Dad had told Dean to get dressed, then shoved him in the back seat, gruff concern over the hissing spit and Dean's near miss, and telling him to get rest. So much more an undercurrent in the short, choppy sentences. Sam had set his jaw and climbed in after Dean, hadn't looked back at Dad, and hadn't asked Dean if it was cool. He'd come loaded down with blankets and pillows, snagged from the trunk while Dean had dressed, and he worked at building a nest all around Dean in silent resolve, perched on the very edge of the bench, long legs bent against the front seat. Dad hadn't said a word, had just slammed the door shut behind them, told them both the sleep would do them good. Dad knew they were tired, chalked their cranky tightness and uneven patience to the severity of this hunt, and how it taxed them all, and neither boy disabused him of that notion. It wasn't a complete lie. Then the car had started, and they'd rolled on, chasing. Chasing, worldless and worried, and spiked with brave adrenaline, as was the color of their lives. Sam had wanted more than sleep, but couldn't get it. Knew Dean wanted it, too. Knew even more Dean wouldn't dare try. At night, it had been enough to have Dean's arms solid and tight around him, burrowed close, nose filled and senses soothed by Dean. The terrible visions of Dean's flesh being eaten away and turning into a hissing puddle of goo had been chased back and defeated. Dean had kissed him, once, when they were both dozing and muzzy, soft and seeking, more nuzzles and reassurance and invitation. Sam had held tighter, fitted closer, and they'd both slept soundly until the car had stopped in the crisp rose-flush glimmer of dawn, the three of them stumbling into the next state's welcome center, and back to the car, Dean's turn to drive. When they ground to another halt, needing gas and dinner a la convenience store, Sam had leaned against the car and looked longingly at the low rumble of a motel across the street. Gas fumes filtered through the air, familiar, and Sam kind of liked the scent, mixing with dust and a day almost over and the ozone of heat lightning in the distance. Sam didn't have much, but he'd have given all of it for Dad to trot across the two-lane highway and get them a room for the night. Instead, his view had been blocked, the dying set of dusky orange sun blotted out, Dad's hands firm on his shoulders, fingers kneading. "Sorry, Sammy," Dad had said. "We're all tired, I know." Sam had huffed and bit his cheek. Lashing out wouldn't be fair, even though that's exactly what he wanted to do. He'd nodded, mumbled something, tried to be the second good son. He'd been relieved when a raspberry zinger had thumped him in the back of the head, cellophane crinkling, the coconut now mostly flaked off, Dean grinning at them over the roof of the car. Dad had patted his shoulders. The gas pump had throbbed, then clanked off, numbers on the old-fashioned Rolls dial reading 1, 4, and 0, and half between 7 and 8. Dean had topped it off to an even 15, and Dad had nodded at them both and gone to piss and pay. Sam watched him go, avoided looking at Dean, knew there wasn't enough time, and felt bitter that there'd be no respite found across the street in a dingy room. His eyes closed, and he knew he could have Dean screaming his name 3 times over before Dad would return with groceries and the scratch of a town's evening newspaper. He'd sighed and gotten me on the wheel. 16 now, his turn to drive. Not that 16 now mattered. He'd driven them through many a dark and empty road night. Started after his first growth spurt when feet could reach the pedals and eyes could see above the dash. Sam loved that his birthday was before Dean's in the year. That for a few months' time they were closer in age. It shouldn't make any difference, 16 and still only 19. It made a lot of difference. When Dad had gotten back to the car, he'd crowded the back seat and had fallen asleep immediately, as only the few, the proud, the Marines can. 40 winks, anyway, and anywhere you can get 'em. He and Dean had ridden in silence, his music filtering between them, Sam getting brave enough to let his hand stray over and feel the length of Dean's thigh, crept over towards Dean's groin. Dean had stopped him then, held his hand, tightening so hard Sam yelped. Dad had stirred, murmured, sat halfway up in the seat. It was nighttime again, everything gray, shapes and lumps without detail, and the dashboard circuits gleamed brightly. "You two all right, Sammy?" He'd grunted that he was fine. Dean's hand hadn't relaxed a fraction. Dad had grunted back, flopped into the seat, and was soon snoring again. The silence had been louder then, his music suddenly annoying, but he hadn't shut it off. Sam's thumb bumped a gentle line up and down Dean's knuckles, and Dean's pinky played in his palm. Neither were fine, but what do you say to your father when your only relief will come from having sex with your brother? No respite, and still they drove on. The car drifted enough so Sam could hear the tires pop over the reflectors buried along the center line of the road. The radio was turned up, but it didn't muffle Dad's yawn. Given the choice, Sam preferred Dean's music. There were only so many times he could listen to Green Door and There's a Moon Out Tonight. Dad had made a mixtape years ago, recording songs off the radio. Sam couldn't hear any of the songs without Think singing the next several bars of the one that followed on the tape, his brain completely conditioned to listening to them in a particular order. It was always strange when real live radio was scratching its static in oldies but goodies anthems, and Twist and Shout did not cut in on a clipped jump immediately after Blueberry Hill. Dad sang along quietly, and the road droned on. The engine whined and the wind seeped into all the faults of his old car. Sam sighed in a grumpy way and snuggled back against Dean. He was glad they had blankets and pillows, another few added from the last nicer motel they'd stayed in. It was cold in the car, another way Dad was trying to stay awake. They must have driven 1.5 miles, 1.5 more to go. Sam had climbed into the back seat with Dean ever since the venom spit on Yucky Night. Dad didn't raise a brow or comment. He knew how nice it was to almost stretch out, and granted that both boys were exhausted past their limit, probably had let himself believe it was almost as good as the most hell stop this way. Dean didn't protest, simply stared at Sam's neck instead of into his eyes, hands maneuvering until Sam was spooned tight in front, arms locked around him. Sam knew Dean needed the contact just as badly, knew also the pain of resistance that they were this close, and touching it clothed, not able to start and see anything through. Sweet torture Sam wouldn't be able to survive without. The soft, unguarded kisses against his neck, all the long hours traveling this way, told him Dean felt the same. He wasn't going to sleep, that he knew, but at least he could get more relaxed. Sam grinned, the surefire way held in his hand. He'd resisted until now. But tonight the darkness wasn't a welcome, unbound time for him to think his two deep thoughts uninterrupted. When Dad and Dean couldn't make fun of him for getting lost in his own navel. There were times he loved lying back here, watching the stars and clouds and inky world rush by, Safe, because it was the three of them moving in their car, his mind lost to rambles and spirits, ideas and equations, bouts of strangely prophetic shivers he told no one about. Tonight wasn't such a night. He'd been too long and he was wound too tight. Dean's warmth and proximity wasn't enough. Sam was a thumbsucker. Had sucked his thumb for as long as he was aware of life. He'd never given it up, even though he was well too old for such things now. He kept it hidden, mostly, indulging only when tucked away in bed and no one was watching. The want for it wasn't as strong anymore, either, appeased by the few times he could curl into himself and contemplate his thumb with his tongue. Dad had broken him of the habit when he was two. Sam no longer sucked his thumb all the time or anywhere at all. He didn't think of it all the time, but he still liked doing it. The feel of it. And so much had been taken away, he didn't suffer the least guilt that he got away with it. Years ago, and years after Dad had cured him, he transferred most of that security and oral fixation onto Dean, specifically Dean's thumb. It had started when they'd been snuggled in bed together, Dean's arm slung over Sam, both of them sleepy and warm. He'd studied Dean's thumb where it rested against the blue-ticked mattress cover, and wondered if it tasted different than his. Wondered if it would fit as well in the crooked cradle his mouth and teeth had grown into, 3 years of training by having his thumb jammed in there. Sam had held Dean's hand in both of his, had eased Dean's thumb into his mouth and had closed his eyes, testing the flavor, loving the feel. All Dean had done was sigh and press the other hand to his belly, inching closer, both sleeping deeper. Sam had been brand new 3, Dean only 7. 12 years later, Sam still sucked on Dean's thumb, and Dean still let him. What had started innocently enough had turned into more as their bodies had woken and responded to each other somewhere in the haze of the 12-year span. Now it was prelude and aftermath and all comfort. Sam remembered the first time he'd thoroughly sucked Dean's thumb, and it had given them both hard-ons. He'd been 13, Dean tripped over into 17. It had felt like just a matter of time, instinctive, the only possible next step. Dean had pushed his thumb in further and beat Sam off with his other hand, all the while whispering Sammy against baby's soft skin and downy curlicues of hair into an ear from behind. Sam had come so quick he thought he'd died. He bit hard enough into Dean's thumb so the teeth marks had bruised, purple and red with blood rushed beneath the almost broken skin. He'd sucked it back into his mouth, apologized with slow swipes of his tongue, churning against Dean's groin with his narrow hips and flat ass until Dean had grunted and jerked, fingers gripping Sam's cheek so hard, Sam sported tiny half-moon bruises of his own. They hadn't questioned it, hadn't thought of it. The sex wasn't wrong or too soon, too young and too old, any more than crisscrossing the country in beat-up rust buckets, chasing and killing evil and living hand-to-mouth in hotel rooms and seedy diners was to them. It simply was. More of them, more of who they were, more of the impossible need and connection and only each other they existed within. That first night, Dean had held him tight and whispered roughly that no one could know, especially Dad, and Sam had vowed, with solemnity aged, with maturity beyond his years, that no one ever would. It breathed deep and smelled their sex, smelled them together, and it was giddy, serene pleasure, and he nodded again. It had diminished none of the first flush goodness, but he'd known Dean was absolutely right. It was sacred between them. It would be seen as unholy by everyone else. Sam had known then Dad wouldn't understand. He wondered now if that wasn't part of his growing rebellion, part of his ability to glare and shrug off orders and question the man. At 13, he decided that anyone who judged his and Dean's need and happiness simply didn't count. Through the interceding years since, he'd come to realize that ultimatum included Dad. Another reason to keep the secret, because Sam was in no way prepared for their father's condemnation, nor to condemning Dad with his every last ounce of unforgiving hatred. Dean had confided later, when they were tucked and spent and Sam was lazily feeling every tiny spot of Dean's thumb with his tongue, and he'd been on the verge of telling Sam no more, because even though it was the first woody for Sam, Dean had been getting them in hiding and ignoring them for years. Sam had laughed, pleased and proud, pushed up for a kiss. Dean had scowled at him and kissed him back. He preferred the left thumb to suck, both his and Dean's, and they seemed to naturally fit together to accommodate their preference. Low clouds rode against the earth, blotting the stars from view, bulbous masses of black indigo rimmed with icy blue-silver moonlight. The car drifted toward the shoulder and was slowly adjusted, and they sped on, chasing the horizon and that evil nasty, and the decadent promise of rest and days off when at last this hunt was done. Sam's eyes shut, and he burrowed back closer into Dean, and thought, perfect. Dean's left arm was up and around Sam, and a loose sprawl against his middle. Sam's head was cradled on Dean's right arm, legs scrunched, too long for back here. Dean curled all around him from behind. Sam drooled in anticipation. He couldn't help it. The idea of sucking Dean's thumb honestly made him salivate. Dean had made fun of him for it more than once, but that didn't prevent either from wanting it and letting it happen again and again. He coaxed Dean's hand to his mouth and licked his lips, then slid Dean's thumb inside. His eyes closed and his mouth curved with pleasure, the taste and the rough texture perfect against his tongue. Sparks of flavor released into his mouth as he licked. Fries from dinner, grease and sweat salt, leather and Dean. His spit heated and thinned, and it ran down Dean's thumb to puddle on Sam's chin. Sam swallowed and sucked greedily. The first few minutes were always concerted, mouth and tongue busy, breathing deep. Then, eventually, he'd relax and go soft and simply hold Dean's thumb. Dean sighed and wiggled, stretched and got closer, murmuring and brushing Sam's neck with his lips. Sam opened his mouth and breathed in, cooling Dean's skin. He straightened his tongue and followed the knuckle grooves with the tip, traced a cuticle line. The pad of Dean's thumb pressed into his soft palate, and Sam grinned. He teethed the base, closed his mouth, and sucked hard. Dean moaned low in his chest, rough, hips finding a smooth, slow rhythm to match. Sam was convinced this was ambrosia. He had read about it more than once in his dusty, thick volumes of mythology and history of ancient times, knew that ambrosia wasn't a mundanity of this world, that it would nourish and sustain you and you'd need nothing else. He ran the length of Dean's thumb with his tongue, up and down, savoring, cheeks pulling in as he sucked. Ambrosia. It had to be. Dean shifted in, pushing with his hips. Sam felt his erection hot and rigid against his ass. He wriggled and twisted, answering Dean, encouraging him. Dean's thumb slipped between his teeth into his cheek, and he chewed on it, and that made Dean babble, sleepy and hot and slow. Sam grinned and turned his head, licked in the seams of Dean's thumb where it bent, pushed his tongue beneath the blunt nail. He was sleepy now, too, at last, better than he'd felt in days. He didn't figure he'd actually drop off, but this was good. He could do this. Sam settled in, content with having several hours of sucking and turning Dean's poor, delicious thumb into a prune maze of wrinkles. There they remained, through My Girl and In the Still of the Night. Then Dean murmured something, less sleepy, and tucked his hand loose, pushing it back behind Sam's ear, fingers tangling and holding the long hair. His thumb dragged a wet line across Sam's cheek. Sam's lips were full and pouty, thick with desire and lassitude and blood. Dean urged, and Sam followed, twisting his head, mouth parting to let Dean's tongue inside. The hand in his hair tightened, the one beneath Sam traveling down, turning him so they could push together face to face. Their kiss was explosive, 2 weeks of pent-up sexual fire and all that something more physical contact meant to them. It welled up and surged over, carried them far out to a turbulent and distant sea. Sam churned and tasted and bit Dean's tongue, body pressed tight, hips jamming in uncontrollable, compressed thrusts. Dean's thumb caressed the corner of Sam's mouth, body shaking, thrust in heady answer. When they pulled apart, they were breathing too hard, too loud, and Sam was glad the music had been turned up again and Dad was tiredly singing along, the rockabilly blues of Sweet Little 16 drowning them out. They breathed and stared at each other, bodies zinging and sharp and over-ready. Dean slipped his thumb back into Sam's mouth and smiled, heavy-lidded and heated, watching Sam work and suck and worship. Sam grinned, resting his teeth on Dean's thumb, teased with his tongue. The hand on the small of Sam's back pulled free. Dean's eyes darted to the front seat, then to the rearview mirror, calculating. He leaned close and shushed, a low gust of air, eyes a pensive mix of warning and wanting. Sam nodded and nibbled his thumb. Dean's free hand made quick, careful work with her jeans, familiarity of habit and days of hunger not quite overwhelming the need for caution. Boxer snaps were next, a satisfying pop-rip. Then his fingers were gathering and aligning their cocks, holding them to nudge steady and perfect as they found their stroke. They moved hard and fast, and Sam knew the end would come quicker than he liked, but this was all too much, and it had been too long, and the whole of him had been waiting to break free for days. Coming in minutes would have to do. Coming in minutes was safer, less to muffle and hide. Dean's hips sped, and Sam matched pace, and they breathed close together, an almost kiss. He and Dean were far too hungry for this, and it was far too reckless, and neither were able to stop. Sam pushed against Dean's shoulder, and his back arched. His head hit the front seat, and he bit back a moan. Earth Angel faded into Cry to Me, and the stars Sam was seeing now were behind his eyes. He started and almost cried out in complaint when Dean suddenly stopped, eyes ripping open, fingers dug into Dean's shoulders. Dean pulled him close to her hand, securing their groins firmly wedged, other hand moving up to cup Sam's jaw, thumb slipped so easily into his mouth. Dean's eyes were dark and beautiful, calming him, beckoning him to follow. Sam sucked and gasped when Dean started moving again, slow, so slow, backing them away from orgasm without stripping any of their pleasure. The car zoomed ever forward, and he and Dean rode in opposing syncopation back and forth, grinding, grinding, grinding as slow and full as time on a lazy Sunday afternoon. Dean smiled, long middle finger flirting into Sam's cleft, and Sam sucked harder, tongue lashing against Dean's thumb. Dad wheezed along with Buddy Holly to That'll Be the Day, and Sam drooled again, whole body a hot flush of need that teetered on the brink. He wondered if they'd fog the windows by now, wondered if Dad would notice. Dean's hand curved around his hip and shortened but didn't speed their thrusts, and the miles and miles rolled beneath them. Sam was beyond it now, trembling and weak and wanting so badly to come. He chewed at Dean's thumb, desperate, eyes imploring. Who's Making Love came on next, and both flashed with stifled laughter. And Dean hauled him close and kissed him. Speed and urgency returned, juicing their veins with fiery need. Dean twisted and grunted, arm bent behind. Then he straightened back around Sam, soft and worn socks, still warm from Dean's foot worked between them and over their twitching so close cocks. Sam came at last, body scattered and split wide open. His throat was tight, and he whined into Dean's mouth, some part of him clinging to awareness that this had to stay hidden. Dean jerked against him and kissed him hard, fingers drawing a wince when they dug deep into him. The sock filled, Sam's cum, Dean's cum, sloppy and hot, mingled in trapped perfection. Dean rested his cheek on Sam's and they gasped, not quite silent, raspy and harsh, kept time with the race of their heartbeats. The opening strains of Heaven and Paradise started up, infiltrated Sam's near blackout haze. Dean stroked the line of his spine, whispered to him, and Sam whispered back, love and devotion and thank you, without ever saying the words. Dean kissed him, and Sam trembled wildly when the sock was gingerly removed, his oversensitive dick feeling every weave in the loose cotton as it dragged away, then returned when Dean cleaned them off. The wet sock was balled up and pushed behind into the seam of the seat. Some part of Sam's brain wondered if they should zip up, wondered if the wonderful stink of their spunk wasn't as pungent in Dad's nose as it was in his. His face craned beyond the heated air between him and Dean, and he turned away, filled his lungs, smelled nothing. Dad had made the car too cold for the telltale scent to carry. Still, these blankets would have to be washed or aired out before Dad next crashed back here. He burrowed into Dean, pacified, nose pushing under Dean's ear against the pillow. His tongue darted out so he could taste, gathered the sheen of sweat into his mouth that coated Dean's skin. Dean was busy with their boxers, then their jeans. Sam didn't allow disappointment. It was rare they could sleep naked anyway, and he wasn't going to ruin this blissful high with a needless fit. He sighed and pressed his cheek against Dean's shoulder. Years ago, he'd fallen asleep in bed with Dad, had woken up enough to cunningly push himself against Dad's length, forehead pressed against the strong bicep. He'd shifted positions, cuddled, pretended he couldn't get comfortable. He'd opened his eyes, such a risk, and found Dean watching him just as he'd hoped. He'd winked and snuggled closer, and Dean hadn't missed a beat. Told you he was a pesky little snuggler. Now you know why I said it's self-preservation to just hold on to him, Dean had quipped. A quirk smile for Dad, a blanket tucked around for Sam. Dad had chuckled lightly, arm loosening to go around Sam. He'd made himself relax, as if that was the cure, and in time he'd actually fallen asleep. Dad hadn't minded, not really, and it had gone a long way to alleviating any pique he might have felt every time he woke up and looked at the bed next to him, Sam spooned seamlessly in the cradle of Dean's embrace. Dean kissed him again, slow, sweet. Then Sam turned, happily fit into the only spot he felt true safety and belonging. Dean's hands curled, one warm against Sam's belly, the other reaching to Sam's mouth. He smiled, fuzzy and almost asleep, pulled Dean's thumb the rest of his way into his mouth with his tongue. Dean sighed, and the last remnants of wakeful tension left him, Sam soon to follow. "Good night, my love," drifted through the car, and on it drove, almost on, only a few hours from the next town where they'd headed, knowing the freshly buried corpse would draw the nasty bad beast. Sam wanted to kill it, knew they would, but right now he didn't mind if first there came more days of driving. He held Dean's thumb with his tongue, and Dean held him tight, and the two slept, full and dreamless.